at 90.1 FM and 90.1 HD2, Houston's Community Station.
This is 90.1 KPFT FM and FM HD1 Houston, with translators at 89.5 FM K208DG Galveston and 91.9 FM K220KC Huntsville. Houston's Community Station, 90.1 KPFT, a Pacifica radio station.
It started an ordinary day. An ordinary bus ride, two ordinary people, strangers on opposite sides. And like a match to fire, it took only a second for ordinary to become the scene of a crime. Dr. Leo Chan unravels the mystery. He's not a detective, but his mother was on that bus. Now he wants to know who attacked his mother. Who is his mysterious new patient? Was she there? Tune in for a KPFT special drama about hate crime, stereotypes, and real lives. Because hate crimes happen every day. They're not normal, but often the norm. Stand up to hate. Build community. Envision a new normal.
Tune in Tuesday, 5 p.m. for a special KPFT presentation.
Lynch's Cloud Below Your Knees tells us it is 5 p.m. Thursday, and also time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling, and it is found only on Houston's community station, KPFT. I'm Madeline Lehner, and I'm co-hosting with Tatiana Gago. And this team at KPFT celebrates the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers whose stories take us on journeys through the windows of their souls and on fanciful trips amid worlds of enchantment before returning us safely to the present. Hello, everyone. I am pretty excited and truly proud of being back on KPFT. Not to mention, and a quick shout out to our team of incredible storytellers. You know, the word proud is very strong, and it means that we have a lot of dignity and pride in what we do and who we are. I know as storytellers, we all have something to be proud of. And today, we're going to share the moments that truly express such noble acts. So today, we have two amazing tellers who are also our friends, Vanessa Ramirez and Jason Rivas. Hello, everyone. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right.
Welcome back, everyone.
It's another day in paradise.
Yes, yes, yes. All of us have been part of KPFT at some point in time, and it's great to be back. So first up, we're going to start with Vanessa, who originally is born and raised in Houston, Texas, but now is in Denton, Texas, pursuing a PhD in English literature. In Vanessa's free time, pre-COVID, Vanessa used to attend many open mics and some of them was with our friends at the Moth. Vanessa is usually teaching English comp courses at the University of North Texas, and in her free time, walking her adorable Chihuahua, Luna. Vanessa is also my amazing partner of almost 8 years. And I just had to throw that in there because I am incredibly proud to call her my girlfriend. So aww. Hi, Vanessa. How has Denton been treating you so far?
Hi, I'm also proud to call you my girlfriend.
Ew. And
Denton has been aww. Treating me very, very well. I love the atmosphere. I love the air. It's great.
So what is some of the best things about living in Denton?
I think the selection of beers, because at every bar you go to, there's all kinds of IPA beers, and I haven't had the same one twice, and that's pretty awesome. But something bigger than that is I love the students. The students are probably the best part of Denton.
Yeah. Do you find them to be like more into their literature courses out here and like more passionate or anything like that?
Yeah, I would say that, but in general, they're just more social. They're more social, they're more open. They're very proud to, you know, say who they are and express themselves, and I really love that.
All right, Vanessa, so your story is about the journey that has led you to where you are today in your academic career. So please tell us your proudest moment.
Okay, so lately, I am extremely blessed to be smothered by so much pride from family and friends. You know, they believe in me more than I could ever believe in myself. And I think this comes from my imposter syndrome. And after applying to my dream college, getting in, moving 4 hours away from home, and finishing my first semester, I still have doubting moments. In a traditional Mexican household, we're expected to be selfless and family oriented. Women like my sisters and I are expected to only leave home once we marry, bear children, and provide for our parents like they once did for us. And, you know, my sisters and I have done a good job at breaking toxic machismo expectations, but also now more than ever, we are more selfless and family oriented than ever. And our degrees and success are and will always be part of our parents. So moving away from home for school wasn't easy for me. I've been told before that due to my strong roots, I wouldn't have the guts to leave my home. And while I'm super family oriented, it doesn't mean that I don't have the guts. And it also doesn't mean that I'm leaving my family, because this degree is for my family. My success is their success, because without them, I wouldn't have finished my first semester in a literature PhD program at the University of North Texas. I got accepted to UNT's grad program with a full ride, and all I have to do is to teach freshman courses and keep a 3.0 GPA. I've been teaching college for 3 years now, and this part doesn't really scare me. I thrive with my students, and teaching is my favorite part of the day. But what I was actually really afraid of was being a student myself. I often sat in the classroom with mixed emotions. I was excited and scared to be there. I felt proud and blessed to be there, but there were also times when I wanted to cry in the middle of class because I felt like I was way over my head. There were many times when I couldn't concentrate on my professor's lectures because I spent the entirety of the class thinking that I didn't have what it takes. And my anxiety would begin to take over. I felt like my classmates were staring at me, and I was sure they knew that I wasn't one of them. And I couldn't help but compare myself to them, thinking that everyone in there was smarter than me. And I would think that my professors were like secretly judging me and wondering how I got into the program. And somehow I still found the courage to speak, ask questions, and contribute to class discussions. And well, somebody had to write my papers, so You know, I got to work. And the support from my partner, my parents, and my siblings is the most important thing in my life. And as I said earlier, they have way more faith in me than I will ever have in myself. But I also have to give credit where credit is due, and that starts with me. I felt like I read and wrote a million words this semester. It was hard, but, you know, I chose to ignore the voices that told me I don't deserve to be here. It wasn't easy to leave my home and move to a different town, but I am so proud of how independent I've become. I'm proud of my partner and I for successfully being on our own. I couldn't tell you how many times I felt so guilty for thinking that maybe this wasn't for me. Meanwhile, my partner, Maddie, made the effort to move away from home with me because she really believed in my future accomplishments. And well, now that I'm officially done with the semester, I feel so confident that all my hard work will pay off. I'm confident enough to say that I passed all of my courses. I'll continue to keep my fellowship and especially continue to choose not to listen to the negative words in my head. Now that I say this, I'm also pretty proud that I chose not to listen to those words. The reality is that pride goes a long way, and without it, I wouldn't feel confident enough to tackle the next semester. I honestly wouldn't have done it living here on my own, so I guess you can also say that I'm pretty proud of my partner, Maddie, for succeeding with me.
Thank you, Vanessa. Your story is very special for me to hear because it feels like a movie when I hear you tell it. But that's also because I've been so lucky to follow you along this journey. And I know that you've achieved a lot, and there's so much for you to be proud of already. So why and what made you want to tell this story?
I think it's important to tell my story because there's a very small percentage of people that pursue a PhD, but there is even smaller amount of percentage of, you know, Latinx people pursuing a PhD. And I think it's important that we, you know, show what we have to offer and to be proud of ourselves because, you know, our pride also belongs to our parents, especially for, you know, immigrant parents like mine who worked really hard to have me here.
And moving to another city can be very unsettling for some. So what advice would you like to give to some of the listeners who are moved away from home or currently moving away from home?
So my biggest advice is honestly, do whatever you need to do for your new place to feel like home. Whether that means like hanging family pictures or like playing the favorite music. You know, I play my mom's favorite music sometimes or my dad's. And it just really like brings me back home. But it also just reminds me like why I'm here. And so something that I would say is check your facts. Like check why you're there. And remind yourself that you have what it takes to be there. You know, whatever your journey is for moving to a new home, you know, keep your mind on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. And thank you so much for telling your story. When I think back to that, my life also really changed for the best too. And I am very proud of it. I like to think back to when I met you, and I instantly kind of knew that I liked you, and it just wasn't the right time for us. And so when we did get together in 2014, it was a moment of realization that I knew I wanted my life to change, and I knew that I wanted it to change for the better. So when I graduated college, I kind of had this idea that I wanted to start a life with you and move in as soon as possible. But, you know, we stuck to what we needed to get done, and that was school. And after I graduated with creative writing, a bachelor's degree, I decided that school wasn't the best for me, and that's okay if it's not. But I wanted to continue to work. And so I got a really great job I've been happy with it. I've continued to move up. And during COVID was when Vanessa applied for her PhD. And it was very soon after that she got accepted, got a full ride, and then everything kind of happened like a movie. It happened like a movie. It felt like flashcards that were going through to us, and we had to make a decision. And the decision was, you know, we're going to have to move to Denton, Texas. And that was something that I was so ready to do because I knew not only did I want to start a new life for me, but I wanted to start this new life for me and my partner. And that was something that I was very proud of and something that I was very lucky of as well, financially, emotionally, and physically, to be able to bring myself to this move. And kind of like the question that I asked, you know, moving to another city can be very unsettling. And that was something that I had to deal with and something that I had to learn a lot of maturity and growth of, you know, leaving to a completely different city, 4.5 hour drive away from home, away from my family, away from my friends, away from the current job that I had. And so that was the decision that I took. And so now I can say that the decision to move with someone, whether it be for work, for school, or just because you want to go and support someone that you love, is a decision that you have to make, in a very mature decision that you have to make. But it also is something that you can be very proud of. And I can say that I am incredibly proud of being able to be here with Vanessa and support her. But not only that, support our relationship and give us the happiness that I know that we deserve, and to take that next step in our lives. And so I just wanted to thank you guys for hearing my story, number one. But also, does anyone have any comments on the wonderful stories that we just said?
I think it takes a lot of guts to do what you two did, a lot of courage. You guys, that's a really big risk, and I absolutely love that. Because I wish I had that courage to do that, to leave home. But, you know, I'm just not ready yet. But, well, what does your family think? How do they feel that you guys moved to Denton? Like, a lot of mixed emotions, right?
Do you want to go or?
Yeah, it was a lot of mixed emotions, you know, sad, happy. There were many times where, like, my mom would, you know, she would cry telling me, you know, that she knows it's for my own good. So she understood. And, you know, the same on my side. I was, you know, I still am pretty homesick sometimes. But, you know, I think what helps both of us, my family and I, is that we think about how I'm doing it for something that I want and for, you know, something that's going to benefit me. And not just me, but also my family, you know, because I'm also doing this for my family. And so that's really what helps us.
For me, it was actually a different story and more of a negative story. I was moving because of someone that I loved. And my family didn't understand that at the time. And so I had to kind of tell them, like, hey, you know, I've known Vanessa for this long. We kind of want to take the next step. And then also being part of a homosexual relationship, like, how do we explain that to our family? How do we go about that? There's a lot of negativity that sometimes goes across that with family. And so for me, it was very difficult. But inside, internally, I knew that I was doing the right thing. And so I had to kind of, this is why I'm so proud of the moment and the decision that I made, because of the fact that I had to go through homophobic relatives, homophobic people that I knew, and kind of that backlash of, well, why are you leaving your hometown for some girl? You know, why can't you just stay in Houston and work out here and do whatever? And it's like, well, because, you know, that's my heart that's going out there. And so I want to be part of that. So definitely was a little bit difficult for me, but it's the best decision I've ever made. And I'm very proud of it.
And I think that's what matters. I think that's what matters. As long as both of you are happy, who cares, really, what everyone else thinks.
You only get one chance in this world. Make the most of it. And y'all both are certainly doing that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I try.
So I just wanted to now give a quick shout out to my co-host. She's pretty awesome. And we've been working together for a few years now. And her name is Tatiana Gago. Hello, Tatiana.
Hello, Maddie. Thank you. And you know, I know it feels like a few years with this whole
it's an eternity. Pandemic.
It feels like a long time, but I think it's only been like a good year.
Yeah,
or we're about to get into 2 years now. But can you believe that we've been doing this? Like, how did we start? How did this dynamic duo begin?
It, you know, we all got to bring it back to Dr. Rubicek, the amazing Dr. Rubicek, and the opportunities that we've been given by him. And it kind of stuck with us. I think it was something that we weren't expecting, but you and I would like to think work together very well. And it's great.
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, I know like during these crazy COVID times, we've endured so much. Like I always tell people this within maybe the year and a half that we've gone with this. I kind of feel like we've had 5 years stuffed in, but you know, I feel like it's just made us better for some of us, you know? And I know for a fact, we're not the same person from when all of this first started. And there are a lot of new beginnings that developed for us and for the better, of course. And what's something that you want our listeners to know from your story, Maddie?
I think the biggest thing that I want listeners to know is it's okay to be selfish. And that was something that took me a really long time to understand, how to not be apologetic over a decision or not to try to do something else to benefit another person. Make a decision because you want that decision for your life. Yes, family, friends, whatever, they're part of your life, they can come and go. But at the end of the day, it is your life. And so you need to make that jump. And if you want to move in 4.5 hours away from home to be with the person that you love, do it.
And you're only 4.5 hours away from your family. It's one car ride away. And you know, I know I always hear the put family first. Whatever, but at the end of the day, you and Vanessa and your cute pets are now your own family. So you got to put that first. This is Tatiana Gago, and you are enjoying our guest storytellers, Vanessa Ramirez and Jason Rivas on So What's Your Story, accompanied by my fabulous co-host, Madeline Lehner. And that's only on KPFT 90.1. Houston's Community Station, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. You know, Texas is a great storytelling state. And you know, our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild, is a terrific place to learn about the art of telling. They meet virtually the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And you can visit their website at www.houstonstorytellers.org. for a Zoom link to the swaps and for information about upcoming events. And while you're there, you might as well consider becoming a member. Unfortunately, I can't talk about the price here on the Pacifica Station, but I guarantee that the change under your seats and your car or in between the cushions of your couch will probably be enough to cover the membership for a year. Also, enjoy past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008 listed on the menu under radio program. Or you can also visit us on So What's Your Story at facebook.com/So What's Your Story. And let us know if you have a guest we should consider, or maybe yourself. Or you can text Hank at 832-277-1581. And another way to crank up your storytelling skills is by joining Tejas Storytelling Association and the National Storytelling Network. And our great friends at the Moth at Warehouse Live, they are back on full force and gear on the second Tuesday of the month, where you'll enjoy some dazzling and moving narratives and meet some of the nicest and definitely the finest people in the Houston area. All right, Jason, you're next. So Jason Rivas, he is a returning teller on our program. He is an actor, avid historian, and recently directed a play for Coneman Running at Spring Street Studios. I went. It was pretty awesome. And last time that Jason was on our show, he was engaged to his fiance, Courtney. You know, and as of November, he finally sealed the deal and put a ring on it. Congratulations, Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
We got, our boy got hitched.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, so much has happened since February. And do you want to share anything that's happened at your wedding? Any cool things that highlight?
Oh, yes. We really wanted to have a unique experience with this wedding. I am a man who does not like when people heap praise on me or compliment me. So I asked six important people in my life to roast me instead of toast me in front of my wedding guests. And my, oh my, was I burned. Burn, 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 baby, burn. Disco Inferno, burn, baby, burn. It was a great experience. I believe one of my roasters is the co-host of this program. Am I correct?
That is me. What were your thoughts on the roast? Who had the best roast? Oh. You don't have to say it's me.
Well, that's good, because it was actually the last roaster, Nicholas. He quoted my favorite speech of all time in his roast, and that is the President Whitmore speech right before they do the final climactic battle at Independence Day. I quote it every 4th of July on Facebook. I love it. But a good, powerful second place is yours, Tatiana, for showing everyone a giant photo of me in a chicken suit. That got a lot of laughs.
I think that was the icing on the cake, to be honest. Well, I was allowed to bring props, okay? I mean, I couldn't be too mean. So, you know what? I actually didn't know how to finish the roast. So I figured, like, you know what? Why not just show a picture to all of Jason in a chicken suit in front of all of his friends and family? Why not? And now, right?
And now I have to explain why I was in a chicken suit to so many guests.
You know, that's just another great story. Well, I know you have so much to be proud of, and you definitely have accomplished a lot. But your story also shares the proud moments that you feel for somebody that you love. So, Jason, tell us your story.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears once again, for I am here to tell you a story. Now, I am no orator as Brutus is, but I can spin the yarn. And I did see that Tatiana needed another guest for her stories. So here I am, telling you a story. And by the end of the program, I will say before you all that I conquered the program. For I came, I saw, I conquered. And I am doing more than just quoting Julius Caesar. Now, that I have raised the expectations for my story to incredible heights of anticipation, allow me the opportunity to not live up to the hype with my story concerning my proudest moment. Now, I could tell you the story of how I overcame the obstacles to win third place in the fourth grade sack race. I could spin the yarn and talk of the time I met 50 Cent at a Specs liquor store and my little sister hit on him. Or I could tell you the story of losing my virginity at 25. But yay, to be or not to be, that is not the story in question to tell. Rather, I will tell you a story only 48 hours old, yet it's without a doubt my proudest moment. Now, to tell this story effectively, I need to bury the lead considerably in order to keep our audience invested in the radio program. It all started under a winter's moon when I arrived to the arena. The lights were on, and the crowds excitedly hustled to their seats in anticipation. It was a moment. No, the moment for so many. Do you know what the moment is? It's that feeling within your chest that spreads throughout your body and soul. Your fingers tingle, your heart flutters, your mind races. Time feels as if it's slowing down. You look around and grasp in the setting, the people, the feeling, everything your mind can comprehend unites into one event that we call the moment. 48 hours ago today, I lived that moment, and I am here to share it with you all. I'm sharing it for one reason and one reason only, so that you, the listener, can appreciate your moment for what it was or may be. Because when that moment comes, and mark my words, it will, if it hasn't already, you will never forget it. You will treasure it. You will tell stories of that moment. You may even be invited to a radio program hosted by a marginally solid host and her easygoing friend, Maddie. And you will go to your grave with that moment as one of your last thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, and Tatiana, I am not a snake oil salesman. I am merely just a proud man who just experienced his proudest moments. And I'm sharing it so that you all may reminisce on your proudest moment or look forward to it occurring. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, there I was in the arena, about to see the moment featuring the star of the show. Now, if you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The crowd is here and the lights are on and they want a show. Well, the show is over now. We had reached the series finale of a series in which a person arrived to Texas State University, no, the Texas State University, as a wide-eyed student with hopes and dreams, and now was about to exit wiser and stronger. This person came with great expectations and now leaves challenged yet determined. This person faced an inconvenient truth that their plan to graduate from their public history master's program would occur only after a once-in-a-century pandemic shut down their efforts to produce their thesis, that they would have to travel a different path to completing their dreams, but only after overcoming adversity from folks who once supported them, but now had unsuccessfully stifled them, that they would discover dreams sometimes have to change in order to reach goals. I sat down in that arena in awe of the moment I witnessed, hearing my wife's name as she crossed the stage to accept her master's in public history from the Texas State University. That is my proudest moment. I know this because the tears that ran down my face told me so. Thank you for listening to my story.
You are definitely and truly Courtney's number one fan.
Just for clarity's sake, I am only kidding with Tatiana. She is one of my closest friends, and I just wanted to return the favor for the roast that she gave me.
Now that's going to be a story for another time. But what made you want to tell this story, Jason?
I have been on this wonderful program twice, and I really do appreciate every time you invite me on, and I enjoy listening to it. I think you do a fantastic job. I love Madeline's insights, and I love the stories that I hear here. I have previously told stories about myself, and I wanted this third time to be a story about somebody else, somebody that's near and dear to my heart, somebody who I wish more people realized and saw just how truly special and unique she was. So I had to celebrate my wife in at least one of these stories on your fine program. And I greatly appreciate this opportunity.
Now, for those of you who don't know Courtney, Courtney is a wonderful, there's just, words can't describe how great Courtney is. And, you know, Jason, how did you feel when you saw her walk across that stage?
My heart fluttered, my eyes rained, and I had never been as happy as I was the moment I saw. And I will never forget it. It's indescribable. So I'll stop here.
And what's like a tradition for, I know, we know the tradition that goes on at Texas State, but for our listeners, what's the tradition that you guys do after you graduate?
So our graduation ceremony is right next to the San Marcos River. So when you exit out of the arena, you're straight along the banks of the river. And it is our tradition to jump into said river as a way of, I guess, celebrating and blessing our accomplishments. It's a fantastic experience. The water is a constant 72 degrees. So even if it's cold, it's going to be a fantastic experience.
I'm guessing you also jumped in the water?
Yes, I did. I did it last year. Because of COVID, it was somewhat regulated. They did not want the tradition to end, but they had that particular part of the river was closed because of COVID, but they opened it up for that weekend of graduation so that people could jump in. And I was the third to last person to jump in before they closed the park for that day.
Okay. Well, I like that tradition. I don't think U of H has anything like that, but you know, that sounds like an awesome time, Jason. You know, thank you so much. And we always appreciate you coming on the show. There is a reason why we always have you back. You have like these great stories. I know you say that what was it that you told me once? Like the most nervous performance you've ever had was to talk about yourself. But I always want to tell you that you do an amazing job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we have a little bit of time left, and you know, all of your stories, they've kind of inspired me to tell one of my own. We've had stories that we've heard tonight that were about new opportunities, challenges, accomplishments, and new beginnings. So let me tell you my story. For a long time, you know, I had a fear of driving. I used to have dreams, well, not really dreams, but nightmares, where whenever I was driving, I would somehow end up in an accident or falling off from the freeway. Sometimes I still have those thoughts and that anxiety, but the dreams are gone. I'm not sure how I got this fear of driving, but I got over it last year somehow. But, you know, on December 12th, 2020, after 6 years of having my permit, I finally got my driver's license after having that permit since I was 19. And as soon as I got my driver's license, of course, I went to car dealerships just because I could. And I made a promise to myself that as soon as I got my driver's license, I would go look for a car. But whenever I would go to dealerships, I realized I didn't have like a specific car in mind, specific features, model type, or even so much as color. But really, there were two things that I knew I only wanted and only had in mind. A price below $25,000 and a car that doesn't scream mommy car. What did that even mean? I don't know. Anyway, I go to a dealership my dad used to work at, and I see a few nice used cars, Camaros, Jeeps, Ford trucks, Mustangs. Yeah, there's a lot to choose from. And at the time, I had a boyfriend, and of course, like every dealership, the salesman approached him. They always talked to him. And the salesman at the dealership asked if I was looking for, if he was looking for anything. But my boyfriend at the time said that it was actually for me. Then, like always, he asked me, what are you looking for in a car? And instead of lying and saying I want XYZ features, I finally just flat out told him, I want something under $25,000 and not a mom car. He looks at me for a second, and he shows me this obnoxiously blue 2018 Ford Mustang. Maybe about 10 or 15 minutes before he came up to us, I saw that car, and I said, oh, hell no. And when he told me about that car, I said, oh, hell no. And then one way to convince me about not hating the color of that car is that I wouldn't have to see it when I'm inside the car, when I'm driving around. And he had a solid point. And then he tells me to get in the car. Play with it. Turn it on. See how it feels. Drive around. And I don't know how to explain this, but as soon as I got into the car and I turned that thing on, I felt like it was mine. It had to be mine. And I tell the guy that I'm interested. He reads me the car facts, gives me the history of the car, the previous owner. The car only had 14,000 miles on it at the time. It was brand spanking new. And it was under 25,000. Surprisingly, there was really nothing wrong with that. I asked him, like, okay, so what's wrong with it? What's the catch here? Nothing other than perhaps very minimal scratches from the previous owner. The price convinced me more, but then I thought to myself, do I really need a Mustang? Me, of all people, do I need one as a first car? And I'll tell you what he said that officially convinced me. And he told me that, listen, you're young, you don't have any kids, it's not a mommy car. And when you're driving down this sports car on 59, just think of it yourself as a villain, but a villain on a budget. I thought that was pretty funny. So I decided to take a spin on it. And of course, it's not a mommy car, and it was under $25,000. And then within less than 2 weeks of getting my driver's license, in 12 days actually, on December 24th, 2020, I bought my obnoxiously royal blue 2018 Ford Mustang. After years of not having a license, depending on friends and family to take me somewhere, and having a fear of driving, I bought my first car. A muscle car. A sports car of all things. The car to me symbolized a new beginning for me. The start of freedom for me. The start of a new version of me. And the beginning of independence. And so much more. So, of course, people have asked me, what are you going to name your car? And I named the car Genesis, which is the formation of a new chapter in person for me.
Thank you, Tatiana, for sharing your story. I remember when I saw your car with Vanessa, and I'll never forget, Vanessa was like, "Ooh, girl, is that your car?" And you like turned it on and like, "Yeah, this is my car. You like it?" And I'll never forget that memory of your car.
Let me show you how I like to ride.
I know, literally, that's how it was. We were in the middle, literally in the middle of nowhere, and it was wonderful. And then Tatiana just pulled up with this like posh, lavish blue, royal blue Mustang. We're just like, all right. But Tatiana, what made you want to share this story?
Yeah, there are so many things. I was wondering, like, what kind of story should I say? Should I say something about school? Should I talk about being more independent? Should I talk about CrossFit? No. Like, I have had this fear of driving for so long. And for what? And I got my car. And this is just something that I am so proud of. Not many people really expected me to get a car like this. But, you know, I just really wanted to tell this story and just try to inspire and encourage more people to take more risks. Of course, I still have this anxiety of driving around. Even though I have this car, you know, people have challenged me here, but I decided to take a risk and, you know, invest in myself and do it in style.
Yeah, I think cars are such an important thing. And like, when I got my license, my grandfather-in-law gave me this 2009 gray, magnetic gray Toyota Corolla, and I still have it, and it's like my child. And I think cars, like, I used to have that same anxiety and fear of driving, and once you have that car, it's like it becomes your child, it becomes your baby. And it definitely is something that I also too am very proud of. And I just wanted to ask, like, what's the most valuable lesson that you would want your audience to know about your story?
Take risks. You know, this is something that I have always wanted to do, but I was always too afraid to do it. And, you know, I had the push, of course, and I only live once. I know that's kind of a cliche, but I wanted to get this car. Freaking expensive, but at the end of the day, it's worth it. It makes me happy.
You get that car.
It's something that I've always wanted, you know, no mommy car. That's what I got. Also learned in, after watching so many horror movies, I always recommend getting a two-door car, because in horror movies, you don't see anyone die with a two-door car. All right. So before we end our show, does anyone else have like any shout outs they want to give out tonight? Vanessa, Jason?
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to my mom and dad. I love you, mommy and papi. Thank you so much. Gracias por todo. Los quiero, los adoro. And always in my heart.
Jason?
Yeah. I'd like to give a shout out once more to Courtney. Courtney, I love you with all my heart. I greatly appreciate the time that you share with me, and I look forward to our adventures in the future. I also want to give a shout out to my mom, my brother, and my sister. Thank you all very much for supporting me through my many years wandering through the wilderness and trying to figure out who I am and who I want to be in this world. If it wasn't for y'all, I would not be the man that I am today, and I appreciate that. Lastly, I want to give a shout out to you, Maddie, Tatiana, and Vanessa, for being my friends through the years. I greatly appreciate y'all's camaraderie, and I look forward to future memories with y'all.
Aww, how sweet. Well, I want to give a shout out to everyone here tonight. So thank you so much, Vanessa, for being a returning guest on our show. Same to you, Jason. You guys are amazing. Maddie, I am just so happy to always work with you. We make such a great team, without a doubt.
Thank y'all. I definitely also want to give a shout out to Vanessa. Thank you for always being my partner in crime, my best friend, lasting this long with me. Like I said, it's going to be 8 years in April that we've been together. And so thank you guys, and thank you for being part of this little storytelling group. Thank you, Dr. Rubicek, for having me back on, and you know, thank you everyone for listening.
We're proud to be back, that's for sure. Our proudest moment means we learned from the moment, and that's what's next week is all about on So What's Your Story, when Dr. Hank hosts a few students whose revelations about themselves prove very story friendly. The holidays are coming up, and we want to wish our listeners a very Merry Christmas. And we're happy to be back and proud to be part of such a great team. Don't you dare move, because Charles Hightower's R&B Gold is up next with a cool mix of soul. Make Houston's community station, KPFT 90.1, a part of your everyday. And while you're driving home, or turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 5 p.m. for So What's Your Story. Keep loving great stories, and we'll keep bringing them to you. This is Tatiana Gago, and along with the rest of the So What's Your Story team, we never want you to forget that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
This is Quantum Leap Radio. I am the grandfather clock.
And I am your girl, Dope Courtney, a.k.a. Dopico Jones. And we are excited.
No.
Oh, wait. I said it, didn't I? I'm sorry. This is your girl, Dope A. Courtney, a.k.a. Dopico Jones.
I want to tell the people that we are now in their ear on a Saturday.
Our new time. is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
That's right, where they can get the hip hop of the past, present, and possibly future.
You want to find us on the HD2 channel at 9 a.m.
KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, HD.2, or worldwide at kpft.org/listen under the HD2 link, or you can actually find us on the Pacifica Radio app. This is Houston's community station. We are Quantum Leap Radio.
Pacifica Radio is doing what it does best.
And the rich white companies are jumping the line so they can get access to the vaccine.
Covering the global pandemic.
I think people need to wake up and recognize that this is a fight against slavery.
The working class movement against racism and imperialism.
If we have a First Amendment, it needs to extend from government to how these big tech companies are basically run by proxy in the public sphere.
And holding politicians and corporate media accountable to the people. This and much more on COVID, race, and democracy. Tuesdays at 8 a.m. on KPFT Houston. Don't miss it.
Hey, y'all, this is Susan, your host of Border Radio on Houston's community station, KPFT. Border Radio is on the move. Join us on our new day and time, Saturday evenings from 6 to 8, right after Deadbeat. We'll feature some of your favorite independent artists and songs from new artists on the rise. We'll spotlight concerts for the week to come, from in-person shows in our area to live stream events you can enjoy right from home. And Border Radio will keep bringing you the great on-air interviews you've come to expect from KPFT. Mark your calendar for Border Radio, Saturday nights from 6 to 8 on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM, FM HD1, and kpft.org.
You're listening to KPFT Houston, Texas. This is Houston's community radio station serving our diverse communities for more than 50 years.
The R&B Ghost Show starts right now with Charles Hightower on KPFT 90.1 FM and FM HD1 Houston.
For the children to see a much better life.